The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands. And if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took a seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Good morning. Today we celebrate the Ascension. Christ, after resurrection and spending some time, some days with the apostles, finally he allowed them to see him going up to heaven. Literally, they saw him. But before he ascended into heaven, he gave them instructions, like make sure to preach the gospel, make sure that people will know about him, so that whoever believes in him will be saved. And how did they present Jesus? So the thing is, again, if you hear the second reading, some of them were still asking him, "When will you establish the kingdom of Israel?" They still had this very earthly, limited idea of being the Messiah. They still think, even now, the Jewish people, they're still waiting for the political kingdom of Israel. They cannot accept Christ as the Messiah, because what he presented was totally different from their expectations. When you say kingdom of God, what does it mean? Does it mean the presence of God on the earth? Or the kingdom of God means the presence of God in all of existence, God's presence. So when you say kingdom, you have to be careful not to limit it to political, but most of all with regards to belonging, becoming members or citizens of God's kingdom, belonging to God in short. So when Christ came, he wanted us to belong to the kingdom, to be with God, to be with the Father. And he wanted us to believe in him. But what does it mean to believe in Jesus? No? Because there are many people still who have this idea, "Oh, accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you'll be saved." As if you don't need to change, you don't need to pray, you don't need to go to church, you don't need to believe anything else except just say, "I am saved because of Jesus." Of course not. When you say you believe in Jesus, you have to what? Embrace, accept, and become everything that Jesus showed. You cannot what? Pick and choose what to believe. For example, again, this is very, very concrete. Some people believe in Christ and yet full of hatred, full of anger, not only deciding only to love a certain group of people. Can you do that? Should you do that? That you can be a Christian and be a racist, or a feminist or any kind of very limited. Again, I'm not against feminism, but when you say you only stress a certain group and then hate the rest, that's no good. Because we know that there are some women who hate men, or some men who hate women. You cannot do that. You have to love like Jesus. You cannot simply give importance to yourself and not care about others. That's not good. That's not the way Christ showed when he died for everybody. So let us ask ourselves, as I become a Christian, as I follow Jesus Christ truly, really, sincerely, intensely, constantly, am I becoming more like him? Or am I still limited because I'm afraid to go beyond my comfort zone? No? Because there are some people who do that. When I say to you, when I ask some people, said, is it okay to believe in Black Lives Matter and not love everybody else? And you only insist one group? Of course not. When I ask a Black Lives Matter person, do you believe only in your cause, in your group? Or you are only protecting your group but still love everybody else? So when I ask a Black Lives Matter person, do you believe in abortion? And when he or she says yes, shut up then. Shut up then. Because if you only believe in your group as a political group and not help the unborn, then I'm sorry, you're no different from the racist that you are trying to go against. No? Do you understand what I'm saying? Huh? Do you understand what I'm saying? You do not simply love your own kind in the first place. Because Christ died for sinners and saints, men and women, young and old, everybody from different countries, from different culture. And that is the Christ that you and I must present. When Christ said, go and preach to all the nations and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, what do you mean? See, again, in the Philippines, when the Spanish missionaries came, one of the problems that the Spanish missionaries had was they thought they were superior than the Filipinos. Even though they made us Christians, some of the Spanish missionaries thought of Filipinos as monkeys because they were white. Of course, the Filipinos accept the religion because, thanks be to God, because they believe in the love of Jesus, but they, at that time, did experience some racist Spanish missionaries who did not respect equality with the conquered nation. See, even I, when I came here, I told you already many times, I had my own baggages. I had my own preconceived ideas of what I am. And that because of that, I had to grow and change. Hopefully, those Spanish missionaries, after they came to the Philippines and evangelized the people, they themselves changed and went beyond the race and accepted the Filipinos as equal. Same thing with me. I had to go beyond my Filipino identity and remind myself I am a priest first, a Catholic priest, and I can serve what? Everybody. Because if I only insisted on serving the Filipinos, then I will not be serving you guys. And then I will be what? A failure as a priest, as an evangelizer, as a Catholic. Same thing with you. What have you done to evangelize? Huh? Oh, Father, we go to church on Sundays when we pray. No, that's not enough. You have to teach them how to love to show them what love is. And that is why it's very much connected Mother's Day. Let's face it. How can we talk about God's love if we don't even know and appreciate and accept the love of a mother? No? How can you even have an idea of what love is if we have not encountered the love of a mother? And let's face it, when a mother loves, my goodness, how many times they suffered, they felt rejected, they felt insulted, they felt unappreciated by their own children, they now even are forgotten by their own children. No? How many mothers are still suffering now because their children are so arrogant that they demand things from their own mothers? Because the children think they love their mothers, but they only use their mothers for their own benefits. And they don't go beyond their own selfishness and appreciate the mothers. And that is what we have to remind when I talk to teenagers. When I talk to especially the confirmation class, that's what I tell them. How can you love this guy, this God who died for you, while right in your face, right in front of you, you do not even appreciate the love of your mother? By not listening to her, by not obeying her. You know? So my dear friends, when Christ gave us the instruction to go and preach to the whole world and make them his disciples, he simply wanted us to be witnesses of his love. To make sure that we become and love like Christ. But even if we know about this, but we don't become like Christ, especially in loving each other, and what is the saying? Charity begins at home. If you cannot even do that, love your own family, how can you love others? Because there are so many, I've seen families, they contribute to many good causes, to many organizations to help Africa, to help other countries. That's good. But if you don't even love your own family and you are divided and reject each other, then that's hypocrisy. Charity begins at home. And let's face it, one of the things that I have to tell you is to make this country faithful to God. Make this country great in the eyes of God. Make this country loyal to God. And let's face it, we are not yet there. Many individuals who prefer to do their own thing rather than to obey the will of God. And that is why it is not enough for the priest to talk. You have to be the one to help us evangelize and make Christ present, not only in your family, not only in your neighborhood, not only in your school, but all throughout, wherever you go. And you are answerable. You cannot simply say, "Oh, Father, I'm not a priest. I'm not obliged to evangelize." You're right. You are witnesses. You're supposed to witness, reveal the Christ you profess, not only the priest, but also you. So part of your mea culpa, part of your admittance to your faults and failures, is you admit you have not reflected the love of Christ because you have been selfish. You have been thinking about yourself, the world, and not about glorifying Christ. I've said my piece. Listen to it. Acknowledge your limitations, just as I acknowledge mine every day, and ask God, "Lord, help me to really present you, reveal to you, reveal you to all the people that I meet, so that in the long run, as I do what I have to do to reveal you, and when you call me back to yourself, you can tell me right in my face, 'I know you. I know you because you have glorified me. I know you because you revealed me to all the nations. I know you because you revealed the love that I revealed in the cross.'"